First, just a couple of smaller ha'aros and some bigger points, and then maybe some smaller ha'aros. What's the halacha if you have a kisui on the tzoa, but you're not meriach? So we saw that discussion. We talked about Shitas HaRashba. But what about if there is a reyach? Do you need to be marchik from the Dalet Amos, from the reyach, or no? It's mutter b'makom shichal ha-reyach. The Prima Gadim and Simen Ayin Tes is misupik about this, whether or not you need to be marchik Dalet Amos. But the Mishnah Berurah is sosim l'hakel and Simen Ayin Vav Sifkata Gimel. So a very common application of this would be a diaper. Let's say a baby is a dirty diaper. So the diaper is mechuset, typically. Well, what about the smell? So you know, sometimes you can smell it from across the room. But oftentimes, if you get very close to it, you'll notice that the diaper is dirty. But if you're not so close, you won't notice. Now, this is actually a very important question in light of what we discussed last time, which is that the halacha is that if you have to check, or you should have checked, and you don't check, then it's mocking, and you're not yotze. So do you need a check? That's the question. Again, it's not too uncommon that babies have dirty diapers. So before I bench, before I make a bracha, there's a baby in the room. Let's say there's a baby within the foremost of me. Do I have to check? So I smell nothing, right? I could check it. Okay, it's clear. Could be that if I put my nose 2 inches from the diaper, I would smell it. Now, if you hold that I need to be marchik arba amos, mi makom shekal hareach, so let's say I'm 3 amos away, I'm doing an isser, and maybe I should check because it's common enough. Things that are common, even though, like the Mishnah Berurah said, if you have a baby in the house, then it might be matzah in the house. Your house is like an ashba already. So this is a very important question. So the Mishnah Berurah is so saying lahakel. What's the svara of the mekilim? Part of the svara of the mekilim is that since it's mechusa, and we paskin that mechusa is like reach she'en lo ikar, so then you don't need to be marchik dalet amos makom shekal areach. It's enough that as long as you're not meriach. Now, agav, interesting parenthetical point in that, in the Magen Avraham over there in the Mishnah Berurah, they both assume that a shinui rishus would be better than a kisui for these purposes. In other words, even according to the Tsarfatim, who say that if you could smell it, but there's a mechitza, let's say it's a shinui rishus, it's mutter, that would only be for a shinui rishus. It wouldn't be true for a kisei. Now, first glance, I was wondering, why would that be? If you all look at the Rashba, Adiram, really, kisui is the best. That's what the Pasuk says. Mechisisa se'asecha. Kisui is the ideal. Okay, there's a chiddush, maybe. Shinui rishus works as well. So what's the logic here? Could be that the Magen Avraham holds that if you could make the argument that if the kisui doesn't keep the smell in, then it's nothing. In other words, yes, there is this concept of the Torah says kisui works. And that's why if you're mechase with ashashis, according to the Rashba, it's mutter, because the Torah says kisui, and it works, and there's not even this din re'iyah that the Rashba's mechadesh. But now the question is, what if you're mechase, but it still stinks? So maybe what the Magen Avraham is saying is that a shinui rishus is a concept called tarkula, and that works regardless. And the fact that the reach permeates doesn't take away the shinui rishus. Now, the truth is, Maisa, most Rishonim don't go as far as the Tzarfatim in terms of saying that even if you smell it, it's okay, but at least it's something. Whereas maybe a kisui that doesn't keep out the smell is worthless. And therefore, even the Tzarfatim that are makel for shinui rishus, they wouldn't be makel here.
And then you need kmoi in again?
So then the question is, how far would you take it? So that's not clear what they said. What they say is, they make that point, and then yesh ladun in terms of your question. Okay. The Gemara talks about bittul meraglayim, and there's a discussion in the Gemara how much water do you need to be bittul meraglayim, a revius or kolshu, and there's a discussion, is that just at the beginning, because maybe that would work as kama kama batil, or even at the end. So, first of all, it seems that bittul meraglayim works even if with a revius, let's say we're machmir in the end of the day, that you need a revius bein betchila bein besof. But there's no requirement that you have rov. In other words, even if there's more meraglayim than revius, if you add a revius, you're mevatel. So what's this all about? So the Rashba explains that the chachamim were mekel, since it's only asur midrabanan and there's no reyach, then it's okay. If you have meraglayim that stinks, sometimes that happens, so then bittul revius wouldn't help. But the whole concept of meraglayim except be'amud is only derabanan, and therefore they are mekel with this concept of revius. Now, the Rambam writes, at least seems to say, that a revius is enough for once. So let's say a person urinated twice into a receptacle. Then if you want to be mevatel, that you would need two revi'iyos and so on and so forth. However, the Beis Yosef is medayik that the Rashba disagrees. And according to the Rashba, if you urinated 20 times, but you simply added a revius, that would be sufficient. It's always enough to have a revius. But the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. Yes?
Is it clear how much meraglayim corresponds to revius?
What do you mean corresponds? I think the metzias is revius, each urination. In other words, so we're going to get to that. Let's talk about that right now. So you're asking is the following shaila. Well, what if it's a drop? Do I still need a revius? So this brings us to a very interesting question. And that comes up in Masechta Shabbos in the laws of laundering. So Rabbeinu Tam had the following kula. And there's actually two versions of this kula. The question is, what do you do if your baby is sitting on your lap and now your lap is wet? And it's not because the baby spilled water. So this is a shver matziv. I can't always go up and change. Maybe people used to have only one set of clothing. They also didn't have diapers. So what is meant to happen? Is there anything you could do? So the Tosfos and Shabbos Kuf Yud Aleph on the Bay says, "Veshama ri mepi hanashim shehitir Rabbeinu Tam litol yadeu lekanech yadeu bedaget kevan shu derech lichloch kedei shetuchal espal levarich." So this poor woman, now she can't bench. What's she supposed to do? So you have the following etza. She washes her hands and then she dries her hands on her baget. Now this is based off of another idea that Rabbeinu Tam says. There's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos called Shviyaso Zeu Kibuso, which says that laundering is violated even if you just pour water on it. And in fact, the Rishonim asks, are you allowed to dry your hands after you wash your hands? Maybe my wet hands are now laundering the towel. So there are different answers to the Risho, this question, but Rabbeinu Tam's answer is because it's derech lechloch. Even though you're drying your clean hands, you're really dirtying the towel. That's why people launder their towels. So, when I was a bacher, I sort of had that haris. I always use my towel after I'm clean, so why do I have to wash my towel? For some reason, people wash their towels, so it must be that they assume that even when you're drying your hands, you're drying your hands with a clean towel. It's derech lechloch. So that's why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're allowed to dry your hands with a towel. Fine. So this is great etzah. We're going to go ahead and dry your hands on your dress in the place where it happens to be full of meraglayim. And now, Baruch Hashem, now she's able to bench. Why does that work? So the truth is there's two girsas in this version of Rabbeinu Tam. Are you actually drying it? Or another version is you're pouring a little water. There's a machlokes, which one is correct. There's two versions of Rabbeinu Tam. But one version of Rabbeinu Tam, it's just a hefter of derech luchluch. The other version of Rabbeinu Tam is that because she's not mechavein to launder, she's just mechavein levata l'meraglai. Rabbeinu Tam is brought l'alacha by the Ramah, but only that you're allowed to dry your hands, the tamer version of Rabbeinu Tam. But still the Magen Avraham says, how does this work in terms of brachos, right? L'maisa, at the end of the day, our sugya is finished. How much water do you need? We paskin, you need a revius, right? So when you dry your hands, is a revius of water now getting absorbed into her shirt or dress or whatever it is she's drying her hands? Of course not. A couple of drops, nothing close to a revius. So how is this matir brachos? That's the kasha the Magen Avraham asks. Over there, Sif Katan Chaf Hay. And it's a very good question. So the Beis Yosef himself seems to try to address this question. And he says, well, there's only a little bit of Meraglayim. So therefore, a little bit of water suffices. Now, that you're not talking about like a giant accident. Okay, the mother would notice that before. Just like a little bit of Meraglayim, a little bit of water. So the Magen Avraham says, wait. But if you look at Hilchos Kriyas Shema, by us, it doesn't say anything about a little bit working for a little bit. All of Shulchan Aruch over here says revius. No mention is made of less than revius. So how are we to understand it? So one solution is basically what you are suggesting, and this is spelled out by the Chacham Tzvi. It's quoted over there in Machs Shekel, as well as the Mishnah Berurah over there, and the Mishnah Berurah over here cites it as well. And that is that there's really two drachim. One is bitul meraglayim berevius. That's the special kula over here. And that works even if a revius is less than a total of meraglayim. You have two revios of meraglayim, but you add a revius of mine that works. Then there's another darach, which is regular old bitul. Regular old bitul works as well. And therefore, if you have less than a revius of meraglayim, you don't need a full revius of water either. As long as there's more water than meraglayim, that works. And as I said, that's quoted in Mishnah Berurah, Siman Shin Beis Sifkatan Nandalid, as well as the Mishnah Berurah over here in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. And that's the approach. Again, there's two drachim. Why don't we mention it in our sugya? It's a little strange when you look at the Gemara, the Beis Yosef, and the Rishonim, they only talk about Arvias. Shouldn't they mention something about Rov? So presumably the answer is that, again, there's these two drachim. There's the regular din of bitul b'chatar kula, and that goes without saying that that will work. What our sugi is talking about is this more mechudish tikadin, that there's bitul meraglayim even though there's rov meraglayim. And that's unique to here. That's a special kula, like we said, because meraglayim is dirabanan. And that need not be stated. And that's what the Beis Yosef is Merami's to in Siman Shin Beis. You could have perhaps given a different answer than the Chacham Tzvi. And this is perhaps what the Magen Avraham means himself, which is that the reason why there it's mutter is not because it's a little bit of Meraglayim, like the Beis Yosef and the Chacham Tzvi say, and therefore Rov is enough, but Be'etzem, the Meraglayim, is batel into the Beged as it is. It's just that there's a din, that if it's tofeach amenas latfiach, it's still aser. And for that, a kol shu is enough to be mevatalit, because all you need is, the bittel isn't just happening through the mayim. Our sugya is talking about bittel meraglayim when it's a puddle of meraglayim, or a bottle full of meraglayim. So then you need revius. But here, it's absorbed into something. Yes, if it's tofeach amenas latfiach, it's still an issue. But for that, when you're mosif a kolshu of mayim, then it's okay. And that's why we don't have to make the ukimta and Rabbeinu Tam and those Rishonim that it's dafka, where you know there's more water coming in from your wet hands than the amount of water that happens to be absorbed by the dress. It would be mutter regardless. So those are the two drachim to mahalich, to be miyashid that sugya, perhaps. But that's what you're alluding to before. Could be that in this case, certainly if you follow the approach of the Chacham Tzvi / Beis Yosef, so then you would not need a revius always. Revius is a kula. So as we mentioned before, what if you urinated twice? So according to the Rashba, you just need to add a revius. And according to the Rambam, you would need two revius. And the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rashba, like the Rambam, l'hachmir. So take a look at the Gra on that Shulchan Aruch. He asks Akasha, "Mitzarchian dim hishtin behifsik beemtza tzarch shtei revios iloy amashtin befam achas hin tzarch rak achas." That's very fair. And also you could ask, like, you know, if I mashtin once 10 ounces, so then a revius is enough. But if I mashtin twice, but it's 8 ounces, then revius isn't enough. You need two. So you could have answered, yeah, like all shiurim, Chachamim gave a shiur, and this is the shiur. Okay, it's a little bit of milsa below taima, but the whole thing is a milsa below taima, this whole concept of revius. It's a kula because it's the Rabbanan Seir Meiko. That's why I think the Gra asks a little more midik. He says, so what, if she stopped in the middle? And what he's getting at is there's no chalos to two meiraglions. In other words, when we have shiurim, so yes, to some degree, shiurim are arbitrary, or if not arbitrary, they're following the rules. But it doesn't, if there was a chalos to two meiraglions or stopping in the middle or something like that, then we could say, okay, so you need two revios. But there isn't. There's no halachic significance. So from a halachic perspective, two meiraglions is the same thing as one. It's 10 ounces, 8 ounces, 20 ounces, what difference does it make? If you stopped, you started, it's all the same. So because of this kasha, the Gra himself thinks that halacha is like the Rashba, lahakel, against Rambam. And therefore, even if you urinated 10 times, if you had a revius, it's batel. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Giborim, who says maybe even the Rambam would agree. And there isn't necessarily a machlokas. The Rambam wasn't saying that you need two revi'iyos for urinating twice, always. That's only if it's zachar zeh. In other words, if there's a revius of meiraglayim, it says if there's a meiraglayim and I have a revius, and then I urinate again into that same receptacle, then I'll need another revius. But if it's, and as many times as there were, but if I do it 3 times in a row, then even the Rambam would agree that you need only one revius. Turning to the halachos of the Graf Shel Ri'i, so the halacha is that a Graf Shel Ri'i, it's also a Avit Shel Meiraglayim, are Aser. What is a Graf? So Rashi says it's made out of Cheres. Tosfos says, well, maybe it's dafka cheres, or something like cheres, which is bolea. But if you have something that's non-absorbent, like glass, other poskim that metal, so then it would not have a din of graf. What is the idea of graf? So the Rambam writes in Parak Gimel of Hilchos Kriyashma, Lacha Yud Beis, graf shel Ri'i, v'avit shel meiraglayim, asur likros kriyashma kenegdan, v'af al pi shehen ein bahem klum, the Einlan Reach Ra, the Chiddush of Graf is even though they're empty, even though they don't even smell, you cleaned them out. Mepnei Shem Kebeis HaKise, because they have the din of a Beis HaKise. Now, why did he say that? Because since he understands that this din is true, even if they have no Reach Ra, and even if they're cleaned out, they have no Tzoa in them, so why would it be Aser? Must be, because Dinam Kebeis HaKise. Now, what's interesting is that he doesn't say that there's an exception if it's made out of metal or glass or the like. And perhaps we could say, and in fact, this is the way the Beis Yosef initially understands, that this is Tali Zebizah. What are they debating? They're debating what is the Gader. According to Tosfos, the din of Graf is because Dino Kitsoa, which is in fact the Lashon of the Torah, Graf Shalri is Dino Kitsoa, or Avit Shalmei Raglayim. It's Dinam Kitsoa. That's what they hold. That's the basis of the Yisr. So that's why, yes, even if you clean it out, still Dinam Kitsoa, and it's Usr. But why is Dinam Kitsoa? Because they've absorbed Tsoa. Because they're full of Tsoa. So yes, you could clean them out. Yes, you could wash them out. But they're still Tsoa. Why? Because they're made out of Cheres. They've absorbed Tsoa. Lo yotzi midei dafil liolam. It's absorbed. So Mimela Tosa says, if the whole idea here is simply that the Avit, or the Graf, has absorbed Tsoa, and therefore Dino Kitsoa, well, if you have something that's designated for Re'i or Tsoa, but it's non-absorbent, and you've cleaned it out, and it doesn't smell, that shouldn't be Aser, it shouldn't have the din of a Graf anymore. Rambam says, no, it's not because of what it's absorbed. It's not the pshat that Dino Kitsoa, rather the pshat is it's Dino Kibes HaKisei, in which case it wouldn't make any difference. Now, the Rishonim say that even if you add water to this Graf or this Avit, it doesn't work. Why not? So here we have three different reasons. The Rush and the Rambam both say, because Dino Kibes HaKisei, so adding water doesn't change anything. Rabbeinu Yona writes that it's Dino Kitsoa. He thinks it's even Deraisa Dino Kitsoa. And he originally says it's because Miuchad Lakachan, and he adds what the Tzarfatim say, that it's Cheres and it's most Bioser, as a Reach Ra and the like. So adding water onto Tzoa doesn't change anything. It's still Tzoa. And the Beis Yosef says, a third reason why adding Maraglam doesn't work, because Mayim is only Mevatel Meraglayim. The Meraglayim is a liquid, and the water mixed with the Meraglayim, they merge, they blend, and they get mixed together. So then we have this concept of being Mevatel. But when it comes to the Graf Shalri, or even the Avit Shalmei Raglayim, even if we are going to say that the Graf Shel Re'i has a din of Re'i, it has a din of Tsoa. And Avit Shel Meraglayim has a din of Meraglayim. So, well, maybe you'll say, well, if an Avit Shel Meraglayim has a din of Meraglayim, and I know that a Mosif, a Revius to Meraglayim, it's Mutter, so maybe if I put a Revius of water onto the Avit Shel Meraglayim, that should also work, because after all, that's the halacha. If you add a Revius of water to Meraglayim, it's Mutter. So I'll add a Revius to the Avit, it's Mutter. So the Beis Yosef says, well, actually, a cheshbon isn't a bad cheshbon, except it just doesn't work because there's no blending, there's no merging. It's like, I don't know, you had frozen meraglayim. I don't know what for that. But you have frozen meraglayim, and then you poured a revius of water on top. So maybe it would be mevatelin because it doesn't get mixed in. So he's saying that this avit, the water doesn't get mixed in. There's no integration, there's no merger between the water and the meraglayim. And hence, the Meraglayim, the Avit, is still Aser. Fine, so that's L'chora. Water plays no role here. In Avit and Graf, it's irrelevant. But the Beis Yosef notes that according to Tosus and the Mordechai, you need to be Mosif Mayim, or Vias of Mayim, to be Matir B'shel Schuchas. And the Beis Yosef himself says, but all the other Rishon disagree with that. They say as long as it's clean and it's made out of zechuchis or ratechas or some other non-absorbent material, we're going to be matir. Again, we'll get back to the Rambam sheet in a moment. But at least all the Rishonim that are makel for zechuchis and ratechas, so you don't need water. So what in the world is the view of Tosfos? Why would you think that according to Tosfos, it's mutter by zechuchis, but you need to be mosif ameraglot? So first of all, within the view of Tosfos, this is going to depend on the Gerson. So just take a quick look whether you have our Gerson Tosfos or the Gruz Diokin Tosfos. What's the difference? Just take a look again, Chaf Hei Beis. So Tosfos writes, Graf Shel Re'i, Pirsh Rashi, Shalcheres balua mashma lepeirusho aval kli de lo bala kigon sluchas after the shari. That's the first dibaskel. The second dibaskel is uvachi atolman vias mayim of lagraf afshar de lo mahani mayim. So there's two separate things here. Not clear though. Why would you ever have a havamina that graf masinas mayim works? But so the gra, if you look here at the Hagos Hagran, the Gilyon, says this should be read as one dibur maschil. And you read as follows. Shalcheres, mashma l'peirusha, filu b'kli, delo, bala, kigon, zechuches. Afshar d'sharyu, v'lvad, shiatil, bahen, revias, mayim. Aval, b'graf, afshar d'lo, mahani, mayim. So what's the pshat? The pshat is very beautiful. What Tosis is saying is that if you have it made out of zechuches that is in bolea, so then it's mutter b'tosefes revias mayim. But when it comes to a graf, even if it's made out of zechuches, still tosefes mayim doesn't work. What would the logic be? What is Tosis talking about? It's very simple. Because Tosfos learns that a graf shel re'i is dino kiri. That's why it's aser. A graf and avital me'er aglaim, dino shel k'mo me'er aglaim. Well, we know that when it comes to me'er aglaim, Tosefes revius works. So therefore, when you have an avital me'er aglaim that is made out of schuchis, so then Tosefes revius mayim works. But if a graf shel re'i, even though it's made out of schuchis, then it doesn't work. According to Marsha, that's he has this as two separate dibur maschils, in which case Tosos doesn't say anything about Tosefes revius mayim to a ovid or a graf. But even if that's not what Tosos holds, the Mordechai says it explicitly. So there is a view in Rishonim, it might be Tosos, it's certainly the Mordechai, who have this idea that you need to add a revius mayim to be mutter. Just the Beis Yosef says that all the other Rishonim don't hold in that. So in terms of the question of what about cheres, sorry, what about a graf shel re'i, or if that matter, of a shel re'aglayim that's made out of metal or glass. So we said before that this is a machlokas between Rambam, we'll say, and Rashi. Rambam is machmir, Rashi is sameko. And it's totally in this question of whether it's dino ketsoa or dino kebesa kisid. Rav is machmir because dino kebesa kisid. And that's the way the Beis Yosef initially learns. But then the Beis Yosef says, well, since all the other Rishonim say it's mutter, if it's made out of schuchis. Plus, even the Rambam isn't clear, or the Rambam is so same. He doesn't say any type of kula by mateches. He doesn't say even that it's made out of cheres. But it could be that the Rambam agrees. So therefore, we're going to follow the mekilim, and we'll even suggest that the Rambam agrees. That's not actually the machlokas over here. Now, another possible machlokas, nafkamina, on this question of whether it's the chumra of it is because dino ketsoa, or because dino kebesa kisei, is what about by the avit that's clean? So if you look at the Mishnah Bura, Sif Katan Gimel, he says that it's din de oraisa, because dino kebesa kisei. But Laman de Amar, that the iser of avit isn't because it's ketsawa or kamei raglayim, but rather because isn't because dino kebesa kise, but rather it's like tzor mei raglayim. So then it wouldn't be midor raisa if it's not masriach. Why is that? Because it can't be more machmir than mei raglayim itself. Mei raglayim itself is only derabanan, at least if it doesn't smell, and it's not amud. This isn't an amud, and it doesn't smell. So therefore, at most, the avit shel mei raglayim could be a din derabanan. But if you hold that it's dino kebesa kise, then conceivably it could be midoraisa, even though it's clean and doesn't smell. Another nafkamina might be the machlokas between the Ravya and the Mordechai, who quoted over here in the Torah Sifkata base about what if you flip it over. I have this Avichal Meragarim, the Graf Shal'i, and I flip it upside down. So is that considered mechusa and therefore mutter? So the Rav Yah says it's okay, it's mutter. Why? It's mechusa, right? So mechusa is mutter. So I flip it upside down, it's mutter. The Mordechai says it's aser. Why does the Mordechai say it's aser? And the Mordechai says, this is in the Beis Yosef and in the Torah. Mordechai says it's aser because it's just like tsoa davok besandala. So davok besandala is a bayadal of shita nigmar, or machmir on that shayla. So tsoa davok besandala is aser. And therefore, when you flip this avich omer glim or the graph shall be upside down, it's also aser. Now, what in the world is the dimyo? How is this similar to the case of tsoa davok besandala? I understand the Rav Yah makes a lot of sense. It's mechusa. It's upside down. It's covered. What's the logic of the machmirim? The idea seems to be that why are we machmir by soa davok besandalo? So the Rush says, and it's quoted by the Tur, that the sad in the Gemara to be machmir, which we're choshish for, is that your sandal is bottled to your guf. So just like if I put my, I have some tzoa on the floor, I try to cover the tzoa with my foot, my bare foot, it would be aser. So too, if I try to cover it with my sandal, since my sandal is walked to my guf, it's aser as well. So if so, so what the argument of the Mordechai is, same thing over here. Here, it can't be mechase itself. In other words, it is tsoa. So how could it cover itself? Now, the Torah adds a beer here. The Torah says, because let's think about it. This, if we say that the pshat in Graf Shalvei is dino kitsoa, why is that? So like we said from Tosfos and Rash in the like, it's because it's balua bitsoa. Well, it's balua bitsoa through and through. The blios permeate the entire graph. And therefore, turning it upside down does nothing because it's baro ketocho. The outside's like the inside. The inside, right? Remember, it's usher even if you clean it out. Why? Because the inside is balua from toa. So to the outside is balua from toa. It doesn't make a difference. It's baro ketocho. Oh, turn it upside down, you turn it right side up, it's tsoa. You just flip the tsoa upside down. Now, maybe if it didn't permeate through and through, you could imagine it being mutter. That's what the Torah sounds like. It's like the sherry cask shayla. Yes, Lindy are there this year, right? So one of the, what's the tzad to be mako for sherry casks? Because tamyenim is batel chad b'sheish. So why are they machmir? The machmir because there isn't even chad b'sheish. There's even not even chad b'sheish. The casks are very thick. So what are the tzad to be mako? If you cut open the casks, you'll see that the red of the sherry only permeates so far into the casks. It doesn't go all the way through. Usually we're always choshesh that everything is fully permeated with blios because we don't know how to measure. Well, here we could chop it open. We're dealing with Blias Bitsonian anyway, and look, and we'll see. And you definitely have Chad B'sheish Keneged the amount that it's Balua. So maybe over here too, if you knew how much, how deeply ingrained the Tzawa was, so then you could imagine flipping it would work. But we have no idea, and presumably it's fully permeated. So therefore, the inside is Tzawa, the outside is Tzawa, flipping it upside down is taking a piece of Tzawa and flipping it upside down and saying, oh, now it's mustard. Oh, so now we could explain. So what did the Rav Yah think? The Rav Yah held that dino kebeis hakise. It's not dino ketzo, it's a beis hakise. So the inside of the beis hakise is a din of a beis hakise. The outside of the beis hakise doesn't have the din of a beis hakise. So memela, the Rav Yah says, you turn it over, it's like covering the tzoa. It's like covering the beis hakise. It's like flipping the beis hakise upside down. Whereas the Mordechai says, no, it's dino ketzoa. And therefore, flipping it upside down is meaningless because baro ketocho, toho kebaro. Because the point of, so the dimyo to dalo with tajalo is sits And that's an extra kinesh. Very good. I forgot about that. The point is that since if it's batel, the idea of davak besandalo is that if my sandal is batel to the guf, so therefore the sandal can't serve as a kisui. So here the pshat is that since the tzoa has permeated the oven, and now it's part of itself, then it can't be a kisui onto itself. So that's one way to learn the machlokas between the Ravya and the Mordechai. The Gaon, though, has a different understanding of it. And this goes back to the sugya of tzoa davak besandalo. So I said before that the reason why tzoa davak besandalo is aser, at least it's out in the Gemara that it's aser, is because what? Because the sandal is batel to your guf, so it's like you're being machas of the tzoa with your guf. The Rashba had a different reason, if you remember. The Rashba said that the reason why it's aser is because when you walk, it's exposed. And you might walk. So says the Gra, that's the pshat in the machlokas between the Ravya and the Mordechai. If that's the svar of tzoa davak besandalo, obviously it's totally irrelevant over here. So the Ravya learned like the Rashba, and the Mordechai learned like the Rash. So here we have two ways to understand this machlokas between the Ravya and the Mordechai. Either it's Tala machlokas, whether it's dino kibes akisei versus dino kitzawa, or it's telling what's the svara, what's the lumdus of soa besandala. What's the halacha if you have, as I mentioned before, we're makel that we follow the lenient view that a graf or an ovit that's made out of glass or even metal, that they don't have the din of an ovit or graf, and as long as they're cleaned out and they don't smell, then it's mutter. What about if it's made out of porcelain? And this is an interesting question because our toilets are made out of porcelain. Toilet bowls, generally speaking, are made out of porcelain. What is porcelain? Porcelain is primarily from cheres, but there's a glaze on it to put in the kiln, and that makes it very non-absorbent. So the question is, what's the halacha? When it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, despite the fact that porcelain is pretty non-absorbent, it's smooth, it's shia, it's even glass-like, nevertheless, we're machmir. That's why we have separate fleishik and milchig dishes. Well, what about over here? So the Bir Halacha says that some say that we're machmir here, just like we're machmir by Hilchos Kashrus, we should be machmir here. But he says maybe it's not so pashut because we're more makel here than we are for Hilchos Kashrus. What's the raya? At least Ashkenazim in Hilchos Kashrus to some degree were machmir for glass. And yet over here, all the Rishonim said glass is okay. We don't treat glass like cheres. We treat glass as something which is non-absorbent. And that's because even if it absorbs a very small amount. And here we're dealing anyway with its own name and the like. Whatever the minimal absorption there might be for glass, that's enough. So maybe just because we're machmir for porcelain in Hilchos Kashrus, because more or less when it comes to Hilchos Kashrus, even if the absorption is minimal, most likely it's still going to be awesome. Probably because in the Vav Masim Chachil, there's actually a big machlok, which we've shown him, what's the halach if something's absorbed, not enough to ever be no Saint Tam, what's the din in that case? But we tend to be machmir in that shayla, and therefore we're machmir for Hilchos Kashrus. But maybe over here, it's nothing to do with Tam. And even if we're going to say it's because of the absorbed particles, and that makes it dino kitsoa, but you need a lot of absorption to say it's dino kitsoa, therefore, unlike the Taz actually thought that just like we're machmir in Hilchos Kashrus for glass, we should be machmir over here. But the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, and even the Ramah is mekel. Shulchan Aruch is not a chiddush that he's mekel by Kashrus, but even the Ramah, even the machmirim by Kashrus are mekel over here, because it doesn't have to be so absorbent. So just because we're machmir for porcelain in Hilchos Kashrus, maybe we don't have to be machmir for porcelain in Hilchos Graf. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, well, even though that's a good svara, we should still be machmir because there are some that are not even happy about glass, and that's the pre chadash, and therefore, okay, we'll be makel by glass, but at least by porcelain, we can't be makel. Now, this is actually, yes.
Very quickly, isn't the reason we're machmir for glass for kashrus is because it's yad soledes?
Uh-huh.
So this will mean every yad soledes. So where's the beginning for hava mina?
So, I mean, yad soledes is relevant. So that, first of all, that might be the svara of the Mechilin. I could tell you that maybe because we're concerned it's there for a long time, in which case it's meis leis. So that's blios even betonin like kavush. But you're right. And the point is that there is a very good svar to be makel here. Again, he's machmir. Nafkamina here. I mean, one nafkamina would be if you assume that our bathrooms don't have the din of a beis hakisei, could you make a brach in front of the toilet? Okay. You even, and we're going to talk about bathrooms, I hope, tomorrow. But even those who are makel in our bathrooms, nobody's advocating making brachos inside the bathroom. But what about, though, I was once asked a shaila from a woman who wanted to listen to shiurim while she was doing chafifa. She said she was so bored. And she's sitting in the bathroom for an hour. She's a big masnid. So she wanted to know if she could listen to shiurim. Anyway, but when we get back to bathrooms, we can talk about that shaila. I mean, you know, you have to deal with the erva issue, but okay, you do a bubble bath, you figure out all your problems. So we'll get back to that shaila when we get to bathrooms. But so let's assume we're not going to be so, even if we're going to be makel for bathrooms and say you don't have to wash your hands after you get out of the bathroom, you can wash your hands inside the bathroom because our beis hakisei doesn't have a din of a beis hakisei, but nobody's going to make a bracha inside the bathroom for the most part. But we still have an interesting shaila. Let's say, like right now, the bathroom door is open and you see the toilet. Wow. Toilet has a din of a, it's asur kamoena. So could you make a bracha? Or you're within four amos of the toilet. The bathroom door is open, right? You go ahead, you know, and the like. So you know, there it's a chiluk rishus. Rashba, we can still see it, right? So it is actually somewhat of an important question to know whether it has the din of a graf or not. As I said, the Mishnah Berurah himself is no to lahachmir. Another practical question that comes up in the shaila is, what about someone who has a catheter? What's a catheter? Catheter is not very uncommon where people have different procedures. And basically a tube is stuck up all the way into the bladder and the urine goes straight from the bladder through the tube into a bag. So the question is, does that have the din of the Chalmei Raglayim or not? And people actually walk around with catheters. You might not even know. Somebody once came out to me in show, and he said, I have a catheter in my lotted oven, right? I didn't know he had a catheter. It was under a shirt. He asked the shaila, I guess he held he could learn. Anyway, so the poskim say it's mutter. Why? Because even if you're going to go ahead, they say two things. Number one, is that it's made out of plastic or rubber. And plastic is, for these purposes, we could assume it's non-absorbent. So we assume that non-absorbent material, like metal or glass, doesn't have a din of it. There's a further question, even if it does, and a number of posts can assume that if it's made out of rubber, it's absorbent, and plastic, it isn't. I imagine nowadays they're all made out of plastic anyway. And I'm not so sure why Mechatesi that rubber is more absorbent, but even if we assume, like these poskim, that rubber is more absorbent, and therefore it would be more of a problem, but still they argue that it's chad pa'ami. Basically, you throw out this catheter when you're done, and therefore, it doesn't have a din of an avet meraglayim for a second reason. An avet mishal meraglayim is a kli that's miyuchad for meraglayim, not just something that you use once and throw out. And therefore, even if you keep your catheter on for however long, but it's not long enough to be considered miyuchad. So there's really two reasons. Now, some poskim, like Rav Moshe, write that you should still cover it. Why? Certainly if it's made of an absorbent material. Because even if you have these two svaros and you reject these two svaros, but if you cover it, it will still be okay. Because your clothing, let's say, or you put a cloth on it in the hospital or whatever it is, so then it's covered. And again, assuming you don't smell anything or the like, then that would be okay. Other persons say you don't need to cover it. It's like ashashis.
Practically speaking, a person with a catheter probably has a cover most of the time anyway.
Well, it depends. If you're walking around with a catheter, yes. I mean, like going around your daily life. In a hospital, not necessarily. In a hospital, they're on like those pole, you know. So if you don't know to cover it with a sheet, it wouldn't be covered. So you could, and some people probably want to do it just because they want to be dignified. You know, this is even a question. Oftentimes, let's say you're visiting someone in the hospital and they're unfortunately not even conscious. They have that catheter there. They're not saying brachos, but you want to say brachos. So then, according to Moshe, preferably at least you should cover there the bag. What about the tube? Cousin Ish argues, even if you have to cover the bag, you don't have to cover the tube because it's just a pipe. Fine. Okay, another couple of quick questions. So we didn't get into this. We don't have time to get into it so much, but we have the machlokas in the Gemara about Tzoa Veres. Does Tzoa Veres have the din of Tzoa? Do we say that it's similar to Tumas Tzaras, where if it's moving, the person is not Tameh? And it's not aser atz machanecha or not. And we're machmer, we pass in the chumra on the shaila. Take a look at the Maria Buhav, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, Simenayim Vav Sif Gemel. He's medak in the Rambam that there's no din of melo eina for tzol veres, which is very interesting. Because even though we pass in that tzol veres is lachumra, which presumably means that tzol veres is tzola. So if so, I would think that just like for Tzoa, there's a din of Moe Enough, so too for Tzoa Veres, there's a din of Moe Enough. Why should it be any different? But the Maria Buav makes a Dikan Rambam that it's Mutter. It's a good deal. The problem is, as the Beis Yosef notes, even the Maria Buav notes on himself, there's no Gilui for this in the Gemara. Where did he get this from? How did he know? So I thought maybe the Rambam got it from the fact that the Gemara continues next, and it says that Pia Chazir is Tzoa Veres Dami. And the Rambam also passes that Lashon. Now, the question is, why do you need to use this lashon? What's the idea of peel veres pizza? Because the pi chazer, chaz is always full of eating tzoa. And even if the chazer goes to the river and cleans off his mouth, but he's like a graf. So the pi chazer is like graf, give schmack. So the chazer is walking, it's ketzol veres. Why do you need to tell me ketzol veres? And why does the rabbi need to tell me ketzol veres? Ketzol veres is usher. There's no nafkamina for tzol veres. You see, for that, I know there must be some nafkamina for tzol veres. Now, even if you all tzol veres, it's aser, but there's some nafkamina. So what's the nafkamina going to be? The Rambam says nafkamina is that there's no din of melo enav. It's still an interesting question why that would be true. Again, you could say, well, tzol melo enav for the Rosh is anyway only midrabanan, so they were mekel, and for the Rashba, it's isus talin re'iyah. And we could say that it's the din of Mekomo is only for Tochtal and Amos. So we could come up with Chilukim, not so Pashut, maybe. But Maisa, the Ramah is Meka like the Maria Buhav. And the Beis Yosef is Machmir. Magen Avram seems to say like the Maria Buhav. The Taz says not that way. The Mishnah Berurah says Lachatchila Ish B'Machmir. Another interesting question. What's halacha for mitzvos b'makom metunuf? We've talked about krishma b'makom metunuf. Obviously, you can't do that. Brachos or tefillah. Or even hirur. We know that even though hirur is mutter b'makom erva, but not b'makom tinuf. What about mitzvos? So, as far as I know, what should be the problem? Why can't you do mitzvos. So the Bir Halacha discusses this in Siman Tav Kuf Peches Sif Beis, and he talks about what about you hear a shofar and not go mitzvah. I don't know. You're in the middle of a shofar blowing, and you have to run to the bathroom, and you go to the bathroom. You hear the tekiyos in the bathroom. What's the halacha? So first he says, what should the problem be? There's no halacha of ma'is mitzvah b'makom matinov. Where did we ever hear such an isser? You don't have to take off your tzitzis or your talis gadol. Maybe you have to take off because it's begging musical tefillah. Your tzitzis don't have to take off, right? There's no din that you can't even kind of mitzvah b'makom matinov. So what should the problem be? But he quotes the Mata Ephraim, right? Nirishim hischil et koa, umayim shows us in albirchav, posek, achichalo amayim, v'chozer lechkoa me'rosh, lehalam ala seder. The talk of mayim shamayim shows us in all, afilu matzah tzor v'mekomo, yatsu mikol makom, isholachzav lechkoa, v'libracha. So what is that? What's that all about? So saying dafka tkios and dafka tfila. I like that. Very good. That could be one pshat. So the Mishmur himself gives a different suggestion. He thinks maybe the pshat is that if you hold mitzvah tzvichos kavana, so if being mechavein for the mitzvah, and certainly even if you hold mitzvah tzvichos kavana, you should do it. You should think about the mitzvah and the idea. So that's sort of like Divrei Torah. And then he's most of the second svara, Eim lasos avodas Hashem derech b'zayon, it's bechlal bizui mitzvah. So it's sort of an interesting question in terms of the first pshat that he has, that it's because mitzvah srichos kavana, it gets to a very interesting question of what's the geder of hear her b'divrei Torah. And what's included, in this case, thinking about a mitzvah, is that the same thing? L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah, even the Machmirim say that you're in Yotze, you should just do it again, which points more to the fact that it's Derech B'Zayon, and it's also against at least the classical understanding of Reb Chaim, Reb Shechter's understanding of Reb Chaim, that if you do a mitzvah, not Behiduro, you could do it again, Behiduro. So it's not a great king of the year. You'll say, yeah, if you do it, b'makom tinofes. But do it again, shalom b'makom tinofes. And that's even better. All right, we're out of time. Tomorrow we will, again, just for going forward, we'll hopefully talk about Beis HaKisei. We'll talk about Kisui and the sugya of the bed. Talk about Beis HaKisei. Hopefully, after that we'll do also the din of kiss betoch kiss and the like, which is relevant for Sfarim, Rishas Tashmas, Sifrei Torah, the mezuzah, like mezuzah on the bedroom doors and other places. But hopefully in the next couple of days, we'll be finishing up all these sugyos. And also, you know, when you finish up the Gemara's Rishonim, make sure you finish up any gaps in Shulchan Aruch and any of the Seifim that you may have missed thus far. Okay. Have a good day.